Unit 10. EQ, more important than IQ. Warming up. Now you will hear a conversation. Mark the following statements with T, true, F, false, or NG, not given, according to what you hear. I don't know why people don't like me. My IQ is fantastic. I'm a total genius with no faults whatsoever.
No faults? Maybe you have at least one.
What do you mean?
Well, maybe you're having trouble making friends for the same reason you're having trouble finding a job.
I'm too wonderful?
No, you're an egotistical jerk. You have a high IQ, but your EQ has much to be desired.
EQ? What's that?
EQ has to do with your ability to make good decisions and work well with other people. EQ is an emotion quotient. It measures emotional intelligence.
EQ? That's nonsense.
See? You think you know everything, and you dismiss out of hand everything other people say if it's not in line with what you know. But if you had a higher EQ, you would be more open, and you'd be trying to improve your own.
You may have a point about this. Maybe I should look into improving my EQ. Is there some sort of class I can take? Listening. Understanding short conversations. Now you will hear 10 short conversations. A question will follow each conversation. Listen carefully and choose the best answer from the 4 possible choices.
1.
I heard someone talking about EQ the other day. What is it? Is it something like IQ?
Kinda, I guess, but IQ deals with intelligence. EQ deals with emotion. It's important in decision-making and something employers are testing for these days.
Question. What are employers now testing for according to the man?
Two.
Your staff appears to be made up of very smart people, but I bet that they'd score low on an EQ measure.
EQ? Oh, I think I've heard of that. A measure of emotion, right? So you're saying that they can't apply their intelligence then? This is a problem.
Question. What problem does the woman recognize?
Three.
So what did your EQ test show? Wait, let me guess. I bet your score was really high, right?
You hit the nail on the head. My score showed just what I thought. I make good choices and relate to people well. I only wish my IQ was as high.
Question. What can be inferred from the conversation?
Four.
I can't believe that you hired that idiot after you saw his score on the company's IQ test.
Well, believe it. It's been my experience that intelligence isn't so important for quality work. I'd much rather have a person who displays what's called EQ.
Question. What can be inferred from the conversation?
Five.
The trouble with emotions is that they're hard to test for. A person with high emotional ability loses out to a person with a high intelligence because IQ is testable.
Not anymore. Emotions can be tested nowadays, so we can get a good idea of someone's emotional abilities.
Question. What are the speakers talking about?
Six.
If I had a higher EQ, maybe I'd find it easier to change my mind sometimes, so maybe I wouldn't be so rigid in my beliefs.
You needn't feel hopeless about it. Surely, if you think you have a low EQ, there are things you can do about it.
Question. What are the speakers talking about?
Seven.
What? You can't put off pleasure for 20 seconds, even if it means greater rewards later? You must have the EQ of a child.
I've never actually had my EQ tested, but you may be right. I probably do have a low EQ.
Question. What are the speakers talking about?
Eight.
Yeah, your son has a high IQ, but I bet he's the sort who doesn't have much emotional intelligence.
You're 100% wrong in that. In truth, he shows both intellectual and emotional intelligence, a total package that is destined to succeed.
Question. What does the woman think about her son?
Nine.
Now listen, class. EQ is very important, and if you don't develop yours, you won't do well in an office setting, and you might have trouble in your domestic life as well.
Yeah, I can see that. I suppose a low EQ might even make everyday situations like getting help at a hospital difficult. Question. Where is the conversation probably taking place?
Ten.
Boy, you have a lot of brains, but you sure don't know much about using them.
Yeah, I know. My teachers say the same thing. And maybe Dad would, too, if I asked him. Do you think it might be my upbringing?
Question. What is the relationship between the speakers?
Understanding a long conversation. Now you will hear a long conversation followed by five questions. Listen carefully and choose the best answer from the four possible choices. I'm so much smarter than you, I just don't know why you...
Wait, what? You think you're smarter than I am?
Well, I think that's more or less a given. An IQ test would clearly show that...
An IQ test?
Let me finish. I'm not saying that I'm better than you, just that I have a higher intelligence than you. And an IQ test would show that. I mean, you're not going to say that your IQ is higher than mine, are you?
Of course not, but I have real doubts about what you consider intelligence. Ask Mom and Dad who they think will do best in life, and you'll see. I just hope their answer doesn't offend you.
Our parents always favor you, but what do you mean?
I mean that they have a different idea about what makes for success. True, you probably do have a higher IQ. However, you are severely lacking in something called EQ, which shows emotional intelligence. Face it, you are uncaring, temperamental, and altogether stupid as far as using your emotions go. And you think you're smarter than me? Bah!
Questions 1 to 5 are based on the conversation you have just heard. 1. What are the speakers talking about? 2. Why does the man think he's more intelligent than the woman? 3. What does the woman disagree with? 4. What can be inferred from the conversation? 5. What is the probable relationship between the speakers? 6. Understanding a passage. Now you will hear a passage followed by five questions. Listen carefully and choose the best answer from the four possible choices. A person with a bad result on an IQ test might feel like he has no future, that he is stupid beyond all hope. Such a feeling, understandable because society gives high priority to a high IQ, is mistaken. IQ is actually not the greatest method for predicting success in people. This was shown by the work of two researchers. In the early 1990s, John D. Mayer and Peter Salovey published a series of papers on emotional intelligence, otherwise known as EQ. They suggested that the capacity to perceive and understand emotions defines a new variable in personality. The Mayer-Salovey model defines emotional intelligence as the capacity to understand emotional information and to reason using emotions. More specifically, they divide emotional intelligence abilities into four areas in a four-branch model. The first area is the capacity to accurately perceive emotions. The second is the capacity to use emotions to facilitate thinking. The third is the capacity to understand emotional meanings. And the fourth is the capacity to manage emotions.
Questions 1 to 5 are based on the passage you have just heard. 1. What is this passage about? 2. Why do people have a strong feeling about IQ? 3. What can be inferred from the passage? 4. What did Mayer and Salovey suggest in their papers? 5. What is the third branch of EQ? 6.
Understanding a radio program. Task 1. Now you will hear a recording. Listen carefully and match the sentence fragments that follow. The first one has been done for you.
What's the latest in dream research?
Oh, there's so much.
It's still such a mystery, isn't it?
It's a huge mystery. We can't tell exactly. There's a lot of argument about where the brain's working hardest during dreams, what initiates it. So that's going to have to keep going on. We have to get more and more money for sleep research. But what we have to deal with is how come whatever is going on in our brains, how come our dreams help us to solve our problems? When we go to sleep with a problem on our mind, we sometimes just wake up with a solution. What's going on there? We don't understand that.
I wish I did. I don't seem to do that. But
you don't get enough sleep, Katie.
A lot of people don't remember their dreams. So you have advice. Keep a pen and paper at your bedside. Before going to sleep, write down the date. Mm-hmm. When you wake up, take your time and write out your dream. My mom, we always say we can't tell it before breakfast or it'll come true. Or sometimes you want to. And repeat for the next few nights doing that so you'll remember and be able to discuss them and learn from them, right?
Even if you've never remembered a dream, and most of us have dreamt of falling and flying and being naked in public.
Now, what does it mean when you dream your teeth fall out?
Depends. Most people who have that dream have pretty teeth, for one thing. And if I ask them, the way you interpret a dream is to say, how do you feel in the dream? What's wrong with that problem? And most people say, well, if I lose my teeth, I look bad. So you ask yourself in the day before, was there something I did or feared that I was going to look bad, lose face?
Speaking.
Model dialogues.
Exception.
1.
Hi, Steve. We're going to throw a party sometime next week. Will you join us?
I'd love to, but I have to work at a restaurant at night.
You don't need to work on weekends, do you?
I'm afraid I have to work on the weekend. Actually, I have to work every day except Thursday.
2.
Hi, long time no see. How do you like your life in San Francisco?
It's great. Life here is convenient and comfortable. Everything is almost the same as in Shanghai, apart from the weather.
The weather? But the weather in San Francisco is supposed to be very pleasant.
Yes, it is, but its summer is foggy and freezing. Like Mark Twain said, the coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco. Part and whole.
1.
I'm calling to ask about the apartment you advertised in the newspaper. How many bedrooms does it have?
There are 3 bedrooms, 2 big ones and a small one.
Good. Then how many bathrooms are there?
2 bathrooms, one with a shower and the other with a bathtub.
2.
Have you finished reading the book I gave you yesterday?
Not yet. I finished about 2/3 of it.
How do you like it?
It's the most exciting book I've ever read.
You can say that again. They say that over 90% of college students are crazy about it.
Connection between parts.
1.
Do you watch the TV series Ultraman?
No, but some friends of mine highly recommend it. They say it's superb.
Yes, I really think you should watch it.
But I've missed so much of it. I'm afraid it would be too hard for me to follow.
Actually, each episode is fairly independent, so that wouldn't be a problem.
2.
Professor Brown, could you give me some examples to show the relationship between different parts in the food chain?
Sure. As we all know, tigers feed on small animals such as rabbits, which in turn feed on grass and other plants.
Then what do grass and other plants live on?
When animals die, their bodies will help the plants grow, and you can see they are all connected in the food chain. Speaking practice. EQ in use. Now listen to a conversation and give a speech in response to the questions asked. Your speech should be no shorter than 20 sentences. Write out your speech before delivering it in front of your classmates. People nowadays believe that emotional intelligence has proven to be a better predictor of future success than traditional methods like IQ and standardized test scores.
Ridiculous. No doubt a top student with higher IQ will have more success than other people.
Well, you're wrong there. We've found that the smartest kid in the class often feels discouraged and disappointed in the face of setbacks.
That's unbelievable. I thought...
There's no arguing this. These top students have been successful in their learning and their IQ is higher. They fail not because of their IQ, but because of their EQ. They lack stress management, whereas people with a high EQ are more at ease as they are more flexible and can manage their stress well.
The IQ has been used for years to measure people. Surely it wouldn't have lasted so long if it didn't work at predicting success.
People have always had doubts about the IQ. The problem was that there wasn't a better method for measuring people before.
Listening and speaking.
Task 1. Fill in the following table according to what you hear. 200 of the 12,000 students that attend my school refuse to take a simple EQ test. While this number may seem insignificant to you, it's a big deal for me. I never expected so many students to refuse. Once the test was over, I asked the students why they didn't want to take it. Many of them said that the test was too long. During that time, they'd rather do other things, like reading a book or studying for classes. Some students said that tests caused them stress, and they wouldn't take any test that they weren't graded for. After talking to each student, I think that I convinced them that the EQ test was something that would help them a lot. First, the test might show them something beneficial about themselves that they didn't know. Second, the test could show them what areas of their personality they may want to try to improve. And third, if the score is high, the test could boost their self-confidence. Homework. Language Sense Enhancement. Task 1. Listen to the following recording and imitate the speaker.
Reading is a pleasure of the mind, which means that it is a little like a sport. Your eagerness and knowledge and quickness make you a good reader. Reading is fun, not because the writer is telling you something, but because it makes your mind work. Your own imagination work along with the author's, or even goes beyond his. Your experience compared with his brings you to the same or different conclusions, and your ideas develop as you understand his.
Supplementary Listening. Task 1. Now you will hear a long conversation followed by 5 questions. Listen carefully and choose the best answer from the 4 possible choices.
Mr. Suzuki, thank you for coming today. Please have a seat. I've looked over your resume and wanted to meet you to ask you a few questions.
Thank you for asking me to come in.
First, can you tell me a little about yourself?
Certainly. I majored in English literature in college. After graduating, I spent a full year in London, and then I worked for Fuji Bank for 3 years. After that, I went to work for a trading company. I'm an enthusiastic and self-motivated person. I try very hard to be successful at work. I can work well under pressure and enjoy doing work that challenges me.
Then why do you want to leave your present company?
I do enjoy my job, but I believe I'm ready for more challenging work now.
Okay. What are your strong points?
As I mentioned, I can work well under pressure and enjoy work that challenges me.
And your weaknesses?
I think I sometimes try to be over-organized, so I'm learning how to concentrate on the most important parts of my job. Questions 1 to 5 are based on the conversation you have just heard. 1. What do we know from the conversation? 2. What does the man say about his education? 3. When did the man start working for a trading company? 4. What can be inferred from the conversation? 5. Where is the conversation probably taking place? 2. Now you will hear a passage followed by 5 questions. Listen carefully and choose the best answer from the 4 possible choices.
The difference between the employee's personal potential and their actual performance is what we call the motivation gap. There are a couple of basic reasons why employees deliver less than their best at work. We believe that employees, 1, don't really expect to have to do their best, and 2, their extra effort isn't appreciated or rewarded. Getting the employees to produce outstanding work has been regarded by many business people as some kind of great eternal mystery. We can fully express the secret in 3 words beginning with the letter R. Responsibility. Most people want to take responsibility for their work. As humans, we draw much of our personal identity from our work. Taking responsibility for our work heightens our sense of involvement and satisfaction. It encourages people to do better work. Responsibility is a motivator. Recognition. While everyone who works for a living expects a decent paycheck in return, there is nobody who doesn't also appreciate appreciation. Praise will encourage employees to give their very best. Reward. Sure, the employees are financially compensated for the work they do, and the company rightfully expects good work from employees in return for their salaries, but bonuses or extra rewards will give an incentive to employees to do more.
Questions 1 to 5 are based on the passage you have just heard. 1. What is this passage about? 2. What is the motivation gap? 3. What can be inferred from the passage about its readers? 4. What do most people want? 5. What do companies expect? Task 3. Now you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 1 to 7 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 8 to 10, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now listen to the passage. We've been driving home the theme that one rarely gets second chances. It's what you do with the first chance that counts. And because customers always stand ready to judge, every interaction with a customer is yet again a first chance, from which there may or may not be a second. So every interaction counts. While on a consulting assignment, a man flew to Central Florida to meet with the executives of Publix supermarkets. While renting his car, he asked for directions to the nearest Publix. The rental agent became excited.
Do you work for Publix?
She wanted to know. No, I have an appointment at their offices.
Well, you tell them how much I like their stores,
she said loudly. Hearing this exchange, another agent came to the counter. She began singing the praises of Publix.
I love their stores. When I can't find something, the people who work there actually know where things are, and they'll take you right to them.
As if the proof wasn't enough already, a third rental car agent joined the rally.
I will tell you what I really like about Publix. Their people are friendly. They say good morning and thank you. They seem to be so happy. I go out of my way to shop at Publix. There's a different grocery store near my house, but all that the employees do there is to grunt. I drive right past it whenever I can and go straight to Publix.
Now the passage will be read again. We've been driving home the theme that one rarely gets second chances. It's what you do with the first chance that counts. And because customers always stand ready to judge, every interaction with a customer is yet again a first chance, from which there may or may not be a second. So every interaction counts. While on a consulting assignment, a man flew to Central Florida to meet with the executives of Publix supermarkets. While renting his car, he asked for directions to the nearest Publix. The rental agent became excited.
Do you work for Publix?
She wanted to know. No, I have an appointment at their offices.
Well, you tell them how much I like their stores,
she said loudly. Hearing this exchange, another agent came to the counter. She began singing the praises of Publix.
I love their stores. When I can't find something, the people who work there actually know where things are, and they'll take you right to them.
As if the proof wasn't enough already, a third rental car agent joined the rally.
I will tell you what I really like about Publix. Their people are friendly. They say good morning and thank you. They seem to be so happy. I go out of my way to shop at Publix. There's a different grocery store near my house, but all that the employees do there is to grunt. I drive right past it whenever I can and go straight to Publix.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. We've been driving home the theme that one rarely gets second chances. It's what you do with the first chance that counts. And because customers always stand ready to judge, every interaction with a customer is yet again a first chance, from which there may or may not be a second. So every interaction counts. While on a consulting assignment, a man flew to Central Florida to meet with the executives of Publix supermarkets. While renting his car, he asked for directions to the nearest Publix. The rental agent became excited.
Do you work for Publix?
She wanted to know. No, I have an appointment at their offices.
Well, you tell them how much I like their stores,
she said loudly. Hearing this exchange, another agent came to the counter. She began singing the praises of Publix.
I love their stores. When I can't find something, the people who work there actually know where things are, and they'll take you right to them.
As if the proof wasn't enough already, a third rental car agent joined the rally.
I will tell you what I really like about Publix. Their people are friendly. They say good morning and thank you. They seem to be so happy. I go out of my way to shop at Publix. There's a different grocery store near my house, but all that the employees do there is to grunt. I drive right past it whenever I can and go straight to Publix.